John Heyman with a story today. After brilliant start, Donaldson era in Toronto ends with thud, and some real interesting tidbits from it. John Heyman joins us now. He of FanCred Sports Insider at MLB Network as well. John, appreciate you taking the time for us today.
Sure. Good talking to you guys.
So, John, yeah, we speculated about this, but you're, to my knowledge, the first guy that said this definitively, that Josh Donaldson actually didn't want to be traded. He wanted to stay in Toronto. Is that correct?
Yes. Feel flattered, guys. At some point in that waiver period or late, it became known that Donaldson did not want to go, did not want to leave. Word circulated around MLB. In fact, I talked to a couple executives during that waiver day, August 31st, and they said, "What's up with Donaldson?" I didn't know, really. They told me, you know, he doesn't want to leave Toronto. And they expressed some reservation about really giving up too much for him with this information that he didn't want to leave Toronto. Well, they didn't know the reasons, yeah. And we still don't know the exact reasons. Does he like Canada? Was he unconfident about coming back soon? Is he thinking about his free agency? I don't know. You could speculate what you want, but the teams were, at least a couple that I talked to, were a bit concerned about it at the time.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. I guess the mind for me goes to, he thought his maybe best chance at making money next year, because he's probably getting a pillow deal like you wrote about, would be to get the qualifying offer in Toronto, and he felt maybe confident in that regard. Would that have made sense to you if that's the reason he wanted to stay in Toronto, get that qualifying offer?
Yeah, they had made up their minds they weren't going to be able to give him the qualifying offer, and I think that's very reasonable. I can't imagine, really, too many teams taking that $18 million. I know they took an $18 million gamble with Bautista. Didn't work out at the end. He had been a longer time Jay, and perhaps they did for that reason, but he also didn't have that injury history that Donaldson has. Certainly has had three distinct ailments this year. Actually, two of them involved the calf, but Two issues with the calf, one with the shoulder. You know, he's not going to be able to get $18 million from the Blue Jays or anybody else. So if he had made that $18 million offer, they'd accept it, and then they would just kind of sweat it out. But that was not going to happen. So there was nothing for them to do but try to get what they could for him. And certainly the ailments is what caused the market to plummet for him. I mean, that was 90% of it, but I think the other 9% of it was the fact that teams had heard, and all of them had heard it, but I think at this point, all of them had heard that he preferred to stay in Toronto.
Well, you just said that he's not going to get the $18 million, and we've heard that from a lot of people, but the numbers that we've heard have gone between anywhere from 8 years at one, or a 1 year deal at $8 million to a 2 year deal at 15 per. Where do you think that his value is going to land at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think most guys would go for the 1 year deal at this point, do that kind of pillow contract where you're, you know, trying to reset your value and get back up where you used to be. I mean, he's clearly a superstar MVP the first year in Toronto. I think he certainly got some big votes the second year, got some decent votes the third year. So, I mean, the guy's a superstar. I don't think there's any way around that. But with the injury situation, I think it's probably best for him if he does a one-year deal. And, you know, I mean, I'd just be guessing now. And predicting the free agent market is difficult, but if I were to guess, I would say he'd probably be in the $10 to $12 million range. That's just a guess. He could try to do a two-year deal, but, I mean, I can't imagine a team would go beyond that at this point because he missed all but 36 games. We'll see what goes on, too. I mean, does he come back and have two great weeks or three great weeks or even a great postseason with Cleveland? That might help the situation. But certainly he's not going to get what Toronto had talked to him about in this spring or winter.
Well, I think that's the most interesting part of the piece, John, because we absolutely had some contention between Josh Donaldson's camp, him himself, and the Toronto Blue Jays front office in terms of whether or not discussions were held in regards to his next contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. And he was adamant that no contract discussions happened and that nothing serious was done. Meanwhile, Ross Atkins maintained, no, we talked with Josh, we talked with his agent, we talked numbers. And in your piece, you outlined that, yes, numbers were in fact discussed and there was a concrete offer from the Blue Jays.
Yes, that's my definite impression, that the word going around is that they did make an offer. You know, I guess someone could always question the term offer and say it was more of a suggestion. It's possible. I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't get a copy of the offer myself. But certainly numbers were clearly discussed. There's no question about that. And they gave a price point, and he could have said, okay, I'll take it, or let's try to negotiate and gotten it up a little bit, because my understanding is they probably were a little bit flexible and might have gone up from where they were. But I heard that their offer was higher than the 75 for 3 for Arrieta. Does that mean it was 4 for 80 or 3 for 80? I'm not sure. I couldn't swear to it. But I do think if he's making $23 million a year this year, it probably was more than $23 million, or at least $23 million a year. So if I were to guess, I would say it could be 3 for 80 or 3 for 85, or maybe it was a fourth year. I'm not sure. But there was an offer, or at least a suggestion of an offer. A lot of times people will write there's an offer, and then someone will say, oh, there wasn't an official offer. You know, it was just verbal, or there wasn't even a verbal offer. It was just a suggestion as to, would you take this? You know, so, I mean, there's ways for people to deny it, but they definitely talk numbers. There's no question about that.
So that sounds legit to me, John, as far as the number is concerned, right? Like, even Josh Donaldson at the height of his powers, yeah, he's an MVP, but he was going to be 33 years old hitting free agency. You're not, like, so insulted by an offer of that magnitude that you're walking out of the room. To me, if it was somewhere even in that number, right, and you mentioned the Jake Arrieta comp at 3 years and $75 million, like, that guy's a former Cy Young Award winner, that seems like, if that were the case, that Josh Donaldson wouldn't be insulted by that number.
No, he would not be insulted. I don't believe he was insulted. The impression I've gotten is that, you know, perhaps he would have even been willing to talk about something in that range. You know, I'm sure he'd want to negotiate off of an initial offer or suggestion, whatever you want to call it. But I think, you know, he has a camp, he has advisors, he has an agent who's a very experienced agent. And my impression is that they came back with a number or a range or a suggestion, whatever you want to call it, that really didn't allow that much room for negotiating at that point. And it's not shocking that they weren't able to get a deal done on a player of this magnitude with a year to go for free agency. It would be very rare to see somebody. Obviously, Steven Strasburg was a guy who got a deal done in less than a year ago before free agency. But it's rare to see an MVP or a Cy Young winner or somebody of that ilk do a deal. But Toronto did try to do the deal, and I don't believe he was insulted. It didn't lead to a deal, not a shocker, and this is where we are today.
Which makes sense. That's fine. That Toronto offered something fair. Josh Donaldson didn't want to do it because, as we've seen with great athletes, that if they get an opportunity to hit free agency, especially like Josh Donaldson, who's never had that opportunity, that his agency could make him say, all right, you know what, let's test out the market. Let's see what you can get. Let's maximize our offer. Let's maximize our payday and keep our options open. Sure, fine, I can get behind that. But Donaldson in the front office has had an incredible fallout. Again, it's this he said, she said situation already between the two parties when it came to those negotiations. Donaldson has alluded to he's going to reveal some things that bothered him about the front office that transpired over the last year. If it's not insulting him with a contract offer or a bad contract offer, do you have any idea what he could be alluding to when it comes to why it became so damaging between he and the front office?
No, but I mean, it is fairly typical for there to be disagreements when you're talking about this kind of money and it didn't work out. And obviously at this point, he may have regrets. He may blame Toronto more than he blames his agent. You know, I mean, you know, you could blame yourself if you want to, too. But in a lot of these cases, he's working with the agent. The agent is under his employ. You might look for some outside person to blame. Maybe he didn't love the offer. I don't know, but I don't think he found it insulting, because I think my impression from what I've heard is that he didn't. Now, he's telling you that no offer was made. Maybe in his mind it was an insult because there was a suggestion of the amount that was offered. So, I'm not sure exactly what he's alluding to. I do think there was some definite tension at the end there when he went on the waivers and then he didn't play a game right before the day before. And there was at that point some disputes over the waivers and what's going on. And, I do think that there was some tension then. In terms of the offer, to me, it seems fairly typical. They made an offer that probably some people would look at it as team friendly. At this point, nobody would look at that as team friendly, but at that point, maybe. And tried to work something out. They wanted to retain him. It did not work out, and that's basically the end of that story. But now he's got a situation where he's going to be a free agent, and he's not going to get anything like the Jake Arrieta contract, at least not initially.
No, that's for sure. And yeah, when he hits the free agent market again, he'll be even closer to 40. So back to where we started here, that Josh Donaldson apparently never wanted to be traded in the first place. How did that affect his trade market as the Blue Jays approach September?
Yeah, I think it certainly affected. Now, I talked to two teams that suggested to me, or even asked me why didn't he? And I don't know. I'm not entrenched in their camp. I don't know exactly why he wouldn't want to come, but they could only speculate. And the word had certainly gotten out around baseball that he didn't want to come to any other team. He wanted to stay with the Blue Jays. I'm not sure that he ever told the Blue Jays this, and I'm not sure how it got out, but word certainly circulated around baseball that he preferred to stay. I think they probably had discussions about things, and I don't know that Toronto was even aware of this until the very end. So, it did not work out for them. You know, I understand they're probably getting criticized for getting very little for him, but we're talking about a player who didn't play for 3 months and still is not really ready to play at the major league level. There aren't that many teams like Cleveland that doesn't need anybody until the playoffs start.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the teams in the National League need somebody right away because they're in a fight. Cleveland is in an unusual situation where they have the division and a playoff spot wrapped up, and they're not going to be the home field because their record's not good enough. So they know what they have. They know the score going into the playoffs. So they basically needed somebody, and if he could just do the playoffs, that'll be okay for them. And we will see when he's able to come back. But I think they'd prefer he come back sooner so that he can get warmed up and start hitting.
Before we let you go, John, yeah, you were all over the Blue Jays news today. A lot of eyeballs from Blue Jays fans. The manager, we've heard of, from numerous different people for weeks that, yeah, they could be parting ways. But, yeah, you're a little more definitive that this is the end of the line for John Gibbons.
Yes, that's what I've heard, that they're planning to part ways. I think I talked to Gibbons briefly yesterday or the day before, and he didn't say much, but he did say that they'd sit down at the end of the year, and Russ Atkins didn't comment on it. But I have heard from others that is the plan, that they plan to restart the rebuild. And I think Gibbons has kind of been out there and saying he's not sure he wants to do a rebuild. So, they've had these discussions. They've made it clear where they stand. I think he's made it clear to them where he stands, and he certainly even made it clear publicly that he's not that enthused about about a rebuild. So it's not a match, and that is the plan, that to hire a manager. And I'm somewhat speculating here, but I think they'll probably look for somebody young to grow with the team, because they expect to have a very young team and a pretty talented team. Obviously, their prospects are excellent, one of the better systems in baseball right now, so that's something to look forward to.
John, thanks so much for writing those stories and for joining us today.
Really appreciate
your
time, John.
All right, great talking to you guys.